Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. It's actually 9 o'clock where I'm at right now, but that's okay. This is Blog Talk Radio. This is Matt Chat. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And tonight, I will be joined not only by my guest, but as usual, my very special guest co-host, the lovely, the talented, Miss Callie. Welcome to Matt Chat.
Good evening, Ace. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you tonight?
I couldn't be better if I were twins.
If you were twins, the world would be in serious trouble.
Just you.
That is a valid point. But tonight I have a feeling is an extra special show. I just feel it in my bones.
Not only do we have the Titan fresh off his win at Thunderdome, but let's note this. This is a man who has previously been in Thunderdome matches before. The two biggest differences is this time, A, he went in as champion. And B, for those of you who didn't listen to the show last week, this is his first win in Thunderdome. So that is huge. So not only did he get his first Thunderdome victory, he did it to retain his championship and continue the era of the Titan.
And like you said, he's been in the few. But this time he walked in as champion, he walked out as champion. Not very many people can say that, I'm sure.
Not when you're in a match where the odds are stacked so greatly against you as they are in Thunderdome. When you figure, you're not just taking on one person. You're not just in an atmosphere where you're surrounded by a steel cage. You've got 7 other guys in there with you. And if you've never seen a Thunderdome match, eliminations do not begin until all 8 competitors have entered the match. So it's not like even if you come in last, it's not like, you know, you've only got a few people to deal with. You've still got the whole field to deal with.
So there really is no, other than being fresh, there really is no advantage to being number 8 as opposed to being number 1. Because you still got to deal with everybody.
Exactly. And this wasn't, you know, a group of every guy that comes into the NWF has a multitude of talent. But I mean,
absolutely,
this year you had guys in there. You had Jay Donaldson, who has previously won Thunderdome on two other occasions. He's been the NWF champion. You had Pompano Joe, who has proven he can take a beating. And it came down to him and Titan this past Saturday night. You had legendary Larry D.
That's a
one
big
of the
man.
Strongest men. An ungodly strong man. And he is, if you haven't seen Bustin' Loose, I mean, there's a point where he basically belly to back suplexes 2 guys at the same time. the strength that takes to do that to anybody, much less two people at the same time, is just wow.
But before we go any further, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, your reigning NWF champion, fresh off the Thunderdome victory, the Titan. Welcome back to Matt Chat.
Thank you for having me, sir. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Well, I'm doing great.
Titan,
I'm...
congratulations. Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Titan, congratulations on a hard-fought victory Saturday night. I mean, you went to the limits and beyond, and you walked out champion. So congratulations
that was the game
on
plan,
that.
No matter what, so thank you.
You definitely earned that, my friend. But let's just say that victory
was a long time
was...
coming, that's all I can say. Oh, sorry.
I can agree with that. Oh, you're fine, hon. But unfortunately, the celebration that you deserved wasn't, however, the celebration that occurred.
Right.
Because you were just as shocked as I think everybody was, because I was floored when a masked individual charged the ring with a steel chair to attack you after you just went through a hellacious match with seven other guys, and then to find out it was one of your best friends, Nasty Russ. What was, when you saw who it was, what was going on at the time?
I mean, I'm still in shock. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it doesn't seem like it happened. I mean, looking back, towards the end of that match was very blurry, and that was just, I almost felt like I was imagining it, if that makes sense. That first chair shot split me open, and I was having a hard time getting a grasp on where I was and what was really going on. So when I collected myself and looked up and I saw Russ, it didn't feel real, and it still almost doesn't feel real.
I can definitely see, I mean, obviously you got busted open with that chair shot, so I can obviously see where the disorientation would come from. And the fact that it was one of your best friends, obviously that really, really had to be like just an absolute shock. And I can understand the reasoning of not thinking you were imagining that, because we saw you and we saw Team Money when Russ lost that loser leaves the NWF match at FanFest last year. You guys were out there. You were supporting him. I mean, and then for him to come back and just attack you like that, I know the front office is frantic about that, because it's like nobody knows what to do with that situation, because he's not actually a contracted wrestler with us anymore.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten anywhere with that. Obviously, I wasn't very happy. I mean, one of the first things I did when they were trying to put my head back together was I was telling Roger, you know, that was Russ. That means there's a face of who did this, and it's Russ, and I don't know why he did it. And obviously I care why. I would like to know why. I want him to look me in the face and tell me why he did what he did. And then regardless of what his reason is, after he tells me, I will put him through that mat. Because there's no excuse for what he did, especially the connection we had. You know, we were best friends on his last day there. As you said, me and T-Money, we shared the ring with him. I've seen him since then. I've gone over his house. I've eaten dinner with him. I've had him over my house. You know, we've gotten together on multiple occasions. And he's only been friendly. He's only had good things to say to me. So the fact that he waited until what he knew how important winning Thunderdome was to me. So for him to wait until the moment and rip that, take that moment from me, he has hell coming his way, and I want to know why.
Understandably so, because as you alluded to, he's one of your best friends. You guys were a group at one point. I mean, you, him, Team Money, the Thugs. Who could ever forget that? You guys traveled together. You guys were, for lack of a better phrasing, pretty much inseparable.
Absolutely.
So for him to take a moment that was so important, and anybody that knows you knows how important not only retaining that championship was, but getting that victory in Thunderdome.
Definitely.
I mean you were in there with the best of the best.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the, you know, most talent-filled Thunderdomes we've had. And, you know, that alone, regardless of what happened afterwards, that match alone, it was something I wanted to conquer. It was something I wanted to say I've done. I've been in a few Thunderdomes, and to be honest, Titan was born in Thunderdome. I was this Nicholas of the Revolution until Thunderdome a few years ago when I came out with that mask on and my energy completely changed, and I went in, and I came up short, but I came out a different person. And every Thunderdome since, I've been trying to rally up the energy to cap off the evolution of what the Titan has become. And finally, on Saturday, I was able to do that. So regardless of what happened afterwards, you know, I'm still ecstatic that not only did I win Thunderdome, but I also kept my NWF title.
And that, in my opinion, was huge. I mean, we get to continue with the Era of the Titan, which, in all honesty, I think was a much-needed change in that company. You bring a whole new life around. You have such a positive energy with the fans, with the young guys, and it was something that was needed. And for you to retain your title, continue that.
Either way.
And we've seen how some of these rookies that have been under your tutelage, like Jordan Clearwater, how they're stepping up trying to be. I won't say they're trying to emulate you, but they're following your example, putting in the hard work, putting in the effort, fighting a good, hard fight every time.
That's what it's about. That's why I try and instill in some of these guys coming up, you know. It's about, you know, I call myself the king of the fight because it's there's a difference between wrestling and fighting, obviously, but you can lose a match but win the fight. You know, you can lose a battle but win the war. So it's like I push them to even when you're down and you know, you're at the bottom and there's nothing you can do to get out. There always is something you can do. There's always a way to fight back, and there's always a way to come back and come up and be bigger and feed off the energy and be bigger and better than you were. And I mean, I express that to all the kids that are coming in now training, you know, to all the people that come to the shows. That's why I try to be that story of you can. You know, you can be completely in the darkness. You can be completely on the ground, and you can still pull yourself back up.
And you have shown why. You have earned the right to not only call yourself the king of the fight, but NWF champion, because you embody everything that you just said. You go out there, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You go out, no matter what, you lose the match. You know what? I lost the match. It's not going to happen again. And you come back and you work harder and you work smarter to accomplish that. And it shows. And it showed Saturday night when you retained that title and won Thunderdome. But I mean, back to the big point of everything, I mean, for anybody that missed Thunderdome, I mean, not only every match that went out that night was unbelievable. The kids stepped up. They went out, they entertained the crowd. They showed why we are the best of the best in this area.
Absolutely.
From beginning to end.
I'm really proud. The whole shows have just been stepping up, and everyone, as an individual, is coming together, and we're making our shows, you know, so much better. And we have this new crop that's coming up that is just pushing it and pushing that line. You know, they're taking the spots, and then you got the guys who have been there, that's causing them to work harder. That's causing them to push it more. So it's just like we're all making each other better.
And that's what keeps this company at the top of the heap, because that is what we do. We support each other. We push each other to make each other better.
Exactly.
And that starts from the top guy down to the bottom and right back up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got people that come in, and you really can't call Nasty Russ an outsider, because he was one of us for an extremely long time. But that lack of respect.
A lot of times, these guys, they had this chip on their shoulder for one reason or another. And I'm sure at some point in time, we are going to hear from Russ. I don't know when. Obviously, I've tried to get a hold of him. You know, first thing I did when I got to my phone was I called him. And, you know, I haven't heard from him. You know, T-Money doesn't know what's going on. Obviously, he has something to say. Obviously, he has a reason for what he did. You know, he worked just as hard, if not twice as hard as I did to come up. You know, we kind of came up, we came through the ranks together. We were always together. And, you know, he saw the fight. I remember when he got the title, when he got the NWF title, you know, how proud he was, because he was one of the smaller guys, you know, in NWF history to have the title. You know, it's always these big guys and these big, bad, brawly guys. And when Russ got it, you know, he was so proud. You know, and he told me, like, you know, we're in the same fight. You know, and we wrestled for the title a few times. And he always came out on top. And I don't know, you know, like I said, if he wanted a shot at me, I mean, I know there's, you know, some complications because he's not contracted after losing to Pompano. But, you know, if he wanted a shot, we could have found a way. But there was ways we could have done something. But for whatever reason,
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
I mean, I'm sure if he wanted a shot that badly, the front office would have worked something out some way, somehow. All he had to do was ask.
Yeah.
Everybody in the office loves him. The fans loved him. The guy, he's a brother. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He is a brother.
He is.
So, to come in and not just blindside you in what should be one of your proudest moments in your career, but then to do it under a hood. I mean, I was sitting with Nate Pelly watching this happen, and it's kind of like everybody's just in shock, because there is no explanation.
Yeah, there really
is.
I mean, like you said, I mean, whatever reason he came in under a hood to do what he did, you know, he was obviously watching, and he was there. You know, he could have came in and shared the ring with me, you know, and then we could have had a drink at Wings and Rings and talked about how, you know, how me and him could have another match. There was a million ways he could have done it, but he chose to hide his face. And then at a point where, you know, I just went through seven other guys, I just went through hell. You know, I was barely able to stand. My back was killing me. It's still killing me. And he chose that moment to baseball swing a chair right into my face, you know, and brutalize me, pick me up and drive me through it. He chose to do that. You know, that wasn't just, hey, I want a match. That was, he was making some kind of statement. Obviously, he did that, you know, with malicious intent. He did that way for a reason. And he's going to find out that I don't care what his reason was. it's coming back. He has something very, very bad coming back at him, because I may be, you know, a fan favorite, but he knows better than anybody that I can go to the dark, baddest place there is, and I can make really bad things happen to people. And Master Russ is about to get a very, 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 very big reality check.
I would not want to stand across the ring from you in that situation, because, like you said, you're one of the crowd's biggest favorites out there at this time. But in the same breath, as you stated, you can make bad things happen. I have seen bad things happen. Bad people have stood across the ring from you on the wrong side of that path. It is not pretty. I personally would not ever want you to be in that situation. So for Russ, somebody that knows you as well as he knows you, I can't wait until he finally decides to explain why he chose to do what he did when he did it, and to, of all people, to you. Because to me, that was the coward's way of doing things. And I would have thought a lot more Russ than that at this point.
Me too.
But I know you're a fighting champion. So it's only a matter of time before the NWF front offices make a decision, talk to legal about any of the ramifications, and find a way to bring some resolution.
They have their loopholes they have to jump through. They have a lot of people and a lot of, you know, legal actions they have to take, and I understand all that. But, you know, I don't know if he's listening, but I want Russ to know that the door is open. You know, we got Bone Crushers this Saturday. We got Wilmington the week after that. We got Bone Crushers the week after that. The week after that, we're back in Fairfield. Any of those dates, it's not hard. We promote. He obviously knows when the shows are and where they are. So Russ, or Russ's family, Russ's friends, I want him to know. I want it plastered everywhere that he can come anytime. Anytime he wants, he come and get in my face. Regardless of what the front office has to say, regardless of what Roger Ruffer wants to do, this will be settled at some point. I will personally hand him the microphone, let him explain himself, and then serve his own teeth up to him on a platter.
Wow. Remind me never to get in a contest of throwing hands with you.
Well, he made it something else, you know. There's a difference between bell to bell, what happens, and he did what I wanted. He made it a fight. He came after the match. He brought in a chair. He did the cowardly way. He wants to fight. He's going to find out. And I don't call myself the king of the fight just for some funny hashtag. I call it that because I fight. And when I go in there, you're in a fight. You better protect yourself. Ask the guys on the roster. Ask the guys I've been wrestling. Ask the guys in Thunderdome. You're going to come out of that match with a black eye, with a bloody lip. You're going to come out with some kind of scratch, with some kind of bruise, because I'm the one guy who you don't want to get in there with on a good day. And I'm the only guy you don't want to get in there with when he's pissed off.
I can honestly attest to you. I saw you stand toe-to-toe with legendary Larry D. and did not back down. And that is one man who can match power with just about anybody that steps through those ropes. So to see that you stood toe-to-toe with him, I can only imagine what's going to happen when the time comes, if Russ ever decides to show his face at an NWF show face-to-face with you. I mean, that's just, it's not going to be pretty.
I don't care how big they are. You know, it's not about that to me. You know, I'm not afraid of any man. I'll always at least try against anyone. And Larry D is definitely one of the biggest and baddest the NWF has ever seen. I mean, I've seen that guy bench press 500 pounds. You know, he like you said, he was bench pressing people left and right in Thunderdome. I saw him bench press two people, you know. But when I stepped in that ring, and it was just me and him, it's go time. You know, there is no turn it off. There is no walking away. You have to try. And, I mean, that goes for everybody. Everyone has their strong styles. Everyone has their strong points. Everyone has something they're good at. They're better than me. You know, I might not throw kicks or jump up and do a flip as good as this guy. But when I'm in that ring, I'm going to make sure he knows that things I'm good at, I am very good at.
I can honestly say you definitely prove it is the size of the heart of the person in the fight, not the size of the person themselves, because while by no means you're not one of the smallest guys, you're not one of the biggest either, and you back down from no man, no challenge, and you have come out on top. Because of the heart you have when you go in there. And that is the kind of people we need representing the NWF. It's the kind of people that we need leading this company, leading that next generation that's stepping up. And you are doing a fine job with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, while I can get a word in here, I haven't seen the match, at least not all of it. I've seen bits and pieces, but it was obviously a brutal match, and it was one of the most, I don't even know what impressive performances I've ever seen by anyone in a Thunderdome match.
The bar has now been raised.
The bar has definitely been raised.
For every Thunderdome, the bar gets raised a little bit. I would say you raised it about 10 notches this time. Because that was the best of the best in that match. And like I stated earlier, Thunderdome is not like a everyday steel cage match. It's not a gauntlet type thing. It starts when everybody is in there. That's when you can start eliminating. So first guy, last guy. The only advantage you have is you're the freshest man in there. And when you're in there with seven other people, it's really not going to make that huge. I don't feel it would really make that huge of an impact in the long term of things.
Yeah, there's too many guys in the turnover. You know? No matter when you enter, I've been first, I've been last. And no matter what, there's always someone coming at you. You know, no matter you put one guy down, you put two guys down, well, three and four back up, and five is coming at you from the left, six is up on the top. You know, it's like, you never have a chance to breathe. You're always getting hit. If you're standing, there's someone coming after you. That's the difference. Is it really takes time, and it really takes it all out of you once you get going.
So, in that aspect, you walk into this match one way. You never walk out the same, because that's the type of match that changes careers. It defines. There's some people, it defines their character. And I do truly believe that it has helped define the Titan, the king of the fight. You have gotten better and further every time you went in to reach the pinnacle, which you reached Saturday, winning Thunderdome and walking out still champion.
I think that's all anyone should ever strive for, is just to always outdo yourself, to always raise the bar. You know, no matter what, go in there and do your best. You know, fight your hardest, and then the next time, win, lose, or draw, raise the bar some more. Make it farther. Do it better. Do it harder. And that's just how wrestling in general should be. And Thunderdome is just one of those fine examples of how the NWF raises the bar, how the NWF makes things that much crazier, that much better.
for my heart, I think I'm glad Thunderdome only comes around once a year because as exciting as watching that is, I can honestly tell you from somebody that's been with the company as long as I have, I worry about every person that steps in there, their safety. But you guys go out, you put it all on the line, day in, day out. It don't matter if it's a show, if you're a training. You put 1,000% in. And that's what makes, I think that's what makes a lot of these guys great, is the fact that they go in and they work as hard as they can at all times. It's not, you know, oh, hey, yeah, I'm here. And they're the last one to show up, the first one to leave, and you might see them at training once a year. I don't think we really have what you would call a weekend warrior in the NWF.
Definitely. Everyone gives 100% whenever they're there. You don't have anybody coming and dialing it in. It's always 100% go once it's showtime.
And I will say that with all honesty. I think everybody in there has a drive, has a passion, and they take what they do very seriously. And that's also what sets everybody, that's what sets you guys apart from Joe Schmo down the street or this guy out west or whatever. Because we are. We are very serious about what we do. That's why we have the success we have. And that's why we have the type of wrestlers we have. Love them, hate them. Every one of them is passionate about what they do. In that aspect, you've got to respect them. I don't like them all. But I can honestly say I respect them all. Just for the fact of the heart that goes into what everybody does there. And there's not a person in that company that I wouldn't go to bat for. And the fact that you're leading the way now just makes it that much better. The future is bright, and this is the era of the Titan.
We're just getting started.
Ace, do you have any questions?
Oh, I have a comment. If you're just getting started, then
I will let you make your comment.
I would be scared for that entire locker room, because if you're just getting started, then I don't see a person. I personally don't see a person in that locker room that you can't beat.
Man, that's what I train for. I train to be the best. NWF has a crazy, good, thick roster. A lot of depth. There's a lot of different personalities and attributes coming my way, especially being, like I said, on top. I mean, all I can do is train my hardest, and my plan is to keep the air of the Titan just rolling through everyone. Start a checklist and start checking them off. You know, now it's Titan versus the world, now that I have the NWF title.
And then we saw Calypso, his first ever Thunderdome match. And it really looked like there towards the end he was going to try to cash in. Unfortunately, that opportunity did not come, that nothing came of that opportunity because of outside interference. But we all know how important that golden ticket is too. So it's kind of one of those. You've got whomever's coming at you next. Plus, as a champion, I'm sure you always keep your eye on whoever's got that golden ticket, because you never know who, when, or what championship they're going to decide they want to take on at any given time.
Definitely, especially him being young and hungry. You know, we saw on Saturday, he started to come out and do it. And, I mean, if that's what he's got to do, if that's what he wants to do, you know, that's his prerogative. But, you know, I know him pretty well. So I'm not going to say it's not on his mind. But I'm always trying to keep an eye out for what he's doing. You know, I try to keep an eye on who he's wrestling, because if he, you know, has an easy peasy night, walks out all, you know, coke and smile, then I might need to be careful later on. You know, if I'm in the main event wrestling somebody who's going to give me a run, you never know if he's going to still feel froggy. So I'm always trying to stay ready for the fight.
Okay. I mean, you've been where he's at. You've had the golden ticket, and you've had opportunities to come at champions, and you've been around long enough to know sometimes some people make the right decisions, sometimes you just have to weigh out what's your best odds at that time. And as a champion, you've always got to keep your eye open for not only who you're facing that night, but who's your possible next opponent, who's coming at you from what side and where. And when is that
always
next person coming in?
You always got to watch everybody.
Champions never get to rest.
That's very true.
The instant you do is the instant some young, hungry kid comes up, and I don't think any of our guys have actually rested on their laurels, but I think that's what's pushing some of the older guys too, is knowing these younger guys are coming up, and they're fully capable of, if you're not going to go, they're going to take spots. And if you're not going to give it 100%, it may be your spot they're taking.
Absolutely. That's what we have training. That's what we push them not to be, don't ever stand still. If you're always in wrestling, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Always be more hungry. Always be hungrier than the guy you're standing next to. Or always be hungrier than the guy in front of you. Always strive. And, I mean, that's how it needs to be. I mean, if you want to be the best and you're having some of the best matches, you know, and then the guy next to you is like, well, I want to have the best matches too. Then next thing you know, there's two matches that are, you know, match of the night. Three or four more guys see that and they want to be the best. You know, then those guys are having better matches. And we bring each other up. Like I said, you know, being hungry is one thing, but also some of these guys who have been around seeing that, that's making them hungry. We're seeing faces at training that, you know, that we haven't seen in a while, because they're like, well, I see what these guys are doing now. I need to get a little more giddy up in my step. I mean, that just makes everything flow better. Everything is more seamless. And, I mean, as a champion, going back to it, that makes me more aware. That makes me, you know, I recognize that that people are getting better, that the talent's getting better, that these new guys aren't coming in, you know, stumbling around. Guys like Jordan Clearwater and David Tyler, Calypso, Alexis Montez, these guys, they're not coming in and just getting run through, you know, for weeks on and weeks. You know, they're coming in and making differences. They're coming in having some of the better matches. You know, Jordan, David Tyler, they come in and they're winning belts. You know, they're winning tag belts. David Tyler wins the unified title. You know, these guys are coming straight in on fire. So it's like that makes me push myself harder. You know, even though I like to try to be a leader and help and push and pull everybody, that also makes me like I need to keep my game going stronger. I need to make my spot the spot, and I need to represent that well.
And to your point, I mean, these young guys coming in, they're not coming in like, oh, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to train for a while, I want to be a wrestler. They're coming in with the drive to push it and push beyond what everybody else is doing to try to be that guy. And you've got a great vantage point, because I don't know how many people know, you are one of the trainers down there. So you've got probably one of the best vantage points that anybody has. Because you can see, you see what these guys are doing. You go in
yeah.
there and you train with them. It's not like, you know, you sit on the sidelines and just watch. You're in there training with them. I've seen guys that, that are coming in, and this, it stands out to me. We've got guys that are coming in that are injured that are still coming to training because it's not all physical.
Right. There's so much to learn, even even when you can't do the physical. There's so much to learn, and a lot of these kids are finally starting to get that.
And that, I think that's helping some of these young guys in too, is because they're not just learning the physical, they're learning the mental aspect of the game. And there's so many people that just go out there and it's just, I want to do what's cool. That's great. Does the crowd remember it? Because I don't think there's a fan that walked out of Thunderdome that doesn't remember what happened that night. Because every guy went out and did his job.
Absolutely.
They went out there. They represented, if Jordan Clearwater, David Tyler, yourself, are all prime examples of guys that went out there and gave the crowd what they came to see. And people remember those matches because they feel, I won't say they feel physically what you guys feel, but you guys make them feel your emotion when you're out there. I guess is the best way I can put that.
I understand.
Like, I can sit back and watch, and I can see that I watch. I tend to watch the crowd a lot, and it's like they're feeling it. They're feeding off you. You're feeding off them, and that's, it's rare, and it's a gift. And the more guys we have like that, the better we all are.
I couldn't agree with what she just said more. It's like she jumped into my head and took the words.
Absolutely.
So,
maybe I'm learning a few tricks as I'm getting older myself.
Do what?
I said, maybe I'm learning some tricks as I'm getting older myself.
You're not getting older, you're getting wiser.
But to the Titan, whomever your next opponent is, I hope they realize they're in for a fight. Because
definitely. I mean, like you said, there's not really any days off, so even though I got a hole in my head, I still plan on being there Saturday at Bone Crushers, holding that bell, waiting for somebody to take a shot.
I have a feeling that may just happen. Because you definitely have a huge target, my friend.
Line them up,
you'll knock them down.
That's the plan, Titan versus the world.
I personally look very forward to seeing that.
Somebody should hashtag that or put it on a t-shirt.
Well, the new Titan shirts do say Titan versus the world on them. So I'm already ahead of you.
Make sure you get them at all live events.
Yeah, supplies are running low, so make sure you get them now, because who knows what the next batch will be.
As always, I'm sure they will be classic and they will sell quickly.
Yeah, I appreciate the support.
So get them all. Always. Like I said, I will always have the NWO stack.
And I will always welcome a member of the NWF on my show. But we are about out of time.
Make sure to join us this Saturday at Bonecrushers, 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place. Special bell time, 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. Remember, we do have limited seating there, folks. And make sure to join us on Saturday night, May 6th, in Wilmington at the Clinton County Fairgrounds.
Big return to Wilmington.
Woo-hoo! Cannot wait. Great memories of that building. There have been some classics there. So make sure you join us.
Does anybody have an
Come
address
join.
For that building?
I do not, but if you check us out on Facebook, we have flyers up all over Facebook that will give you the address information. And you could always check our hotline, 513-5704-NWF, our website at www.nwfwrestling.com for all ticket and venue-related information.
And ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we are about out of time. I do want to thank the Titan for once again being a guest tonight on Matt Chat.
Anytime, brother. Thank you very much.
All right. Anytime. My pleasure. And, of course, I want to thank Miss Callie for not only arranging this interview, but also conducting most of it.
My pleasure.
And you can tune in next week, same time, same place. I will be back in our home studios. And we will have a very special guest that I will announce later this week or early or this weekend. I will not wait until Monday or Tuesday. I will make sure to have that announced by Saturday at the latest. So be sure to watch Facebook for that. So for the Titan and for Miss Callie, this is Ace Diamond. Have a good night, everybody. Be safe. Good night.